Maseches Bechoros deals with three different types of Bechoros, which are firstborn, and this concept harks all the way back to Makas Bechoros, the plague of the killing of the firstborn back in Mitzrayim, back in Egypt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his Rachamim, saved the Bechorim of Klal Yisrael, and accordingly they were designated to be the special group that would do the Avoda and the worship in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan back then. But coming with the Chet of Egel, they were replaced by the Kohanim and the Levim. So that's going to be one type of Bechor that we're going to talk about. Nowadays, we also have the mitzvah Pidyon Bechor, firstborn to Yisrael. There are various requirements for the Pidyon Bechor, but that is based on that when you have Yisrael and the woman, it's her firstborn, gives birth to a baby boy that has to be redeemed from the Kohen. So that's one type of Bechor. Another type of Bechor that we'll talk about in our Masechta is when a kosher animal, it applies to a cow, a sheep, or a goat, gives birth, first time giving birth, and it's a bechor, it's a male, a baby boy, that has to be redeemed also. And the subject of the first parak is talking about the one area, the one type of animal that is not kosher. It's talking about a chamor, a donkey, that the firstborn donkey to a mother also has to be redeemed as long as it's a baby boy. First Perek Mishnah Aleph starts out with the concept that this mitzvah Peter Chamor, that it has to be redeemed, it applies when that donkey that has not given birth yet and gives birth to a baby boy, it is 100% owned by a Jew. And we'll see in the Reisha that it's specifically with that it was 100% owned by Yisrael. The mitzvah Pidyon Peter Chamor does not apply to if the donkey was owned in whole or in part by a Kohen or a Levi. So Mishnah Aleph starts as follows: Halokeach ubar chamoro shel nachri. If we have a Jew enters into a financial transaction with a non-Jew to buy the fetus in the donkey of the non-Jew, so the donkey is owned by the non-Jew, the fetus by the Jew, or v'hamochelo, the reverse. The donkey is owned by the Jew and he sells the fetus to the non-Jew. A small comment that doesn't relate to our mitzvah Heter Chamor. Even though you're not allowed to be buying and selling, you're not allowed to sell these certain types of animals to non-Jews because of the concern that you may come to rent it or lend it to him and he may use it on Shabbos. So you wouldn't be halachically permitted to sell the ubar, that is the fetus of a chamor, but you did it anyway. Somebody who did it, that is case number two. Case number three, v'hamishtateflo, somebody who has a partnership in ownership of a donkey that has a peter chamor. Number four, v'hamakabo mimenu, this is the chamor, the donkey is owned by a non-Jew and the Jew does a financial deal with him that he's going to take that chamor, that donkey, and he's going to take care of the animal, raise the children, the offspring, and they'll sell it off and they'll split the proceeds from that. And number five is the reverse, vanosin lo bekabala. This is that the animal is owned by the Jew and he gives it to the non-Jew who is responsible for tending to the chamor, and then they'll sell off the offspring and split the profits. In all of these situations, because both the mother and the ubar, the fetus, are not owned wholly by the Jew, but it's partially owned by a non-Jew, at least partially owned by a non-Jew. When that Peter Chamor is born, there's no mitzvah to be poded, to redeem it, because the Pasuk says, Shenemar b'Yisrael avolo b'acherin. The Pasuk in Bamibar Gimel says, Hikdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael. So this concept of a b'chor, including the Peter Chamor, only applies if it's wholly owned by a Jew, not if a non-Jew has an ownership right. And now we get to the Sefer. The same thing applies. Kohanim ulevim p'turim mikal v'chomer. When it comes to Kohanim and Levim, if they own the Peter Chamor, if they own the mother, and even if they own it in part, if they're partners with Yisrael, the same thing applies. And then we learn it from a kal v'chomer, impatru sal Yisrael b'mibar, if the Kohanim and Levim, they came and they replaced the Yisraelim, the Bechorim, who were supposed to be the Kohanim, but they were replaced after the Chet Egel by the Kohanim and Levim, so they replaced the Jews from being the Yisraelim, for being the Bechorim, Din Hu Shiftu Shalatzman, Kal Vachomer, they, when they have children in the future, the Levim also, they're not going to have to redeem their own children. We're not talking about the Peter Chamor yet. They're not going to have a requirement, a mitzvah, a Peter of their own children, Pidyon Bechor. And we learn in the Pasuk that the same thing applies when somebody doesn't have a mitzvah to redeem his own child. He's also not going to have the mitzvah of the Peter Chamor. Accordingly, Kohanim and Levim don't have the mitzvah of the Peter Chamor. They wouldn't have to redeem when you have a a firstborn to a mother donkey. Mishnah Beis is going to teach us halachas when it relates to a Petar Chamor. What happens if you have a donkey that gives birth to an animal that doesn't look like a donkey, or the reverse? You have a non-donkey that gives birth, first time, first birth, baby boy, but it looks like a donkey. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, para shialda kamin chamor. If you have a cow and it gives birth to what looks like a donkey, chav v'chamor shialda kamin susa, the reverse, if you have a donkey, it gave birth to something that looks like a horse, there is no obligation, there's no mitzvah, Petar Chamor, of redeeming it, even if it's a baby boy, firstborn, Shenemar, Petar Chamor, it says in Sefer Shmos in two places, Petar Chamor, Shnei, why twice? Anshi Hayolet Chamor, until the birthing, until the mother looks like a Chamor, the mother has to look like a donkey, the Hanolet Chamor, and also what is born, the baby boy has to look like a donkey. So if one of them doesn't look like a donkey, there's no obligation of the Petar Chamor. Umahem Ba'achila. How about in this situation where we had one animal that gives birth to a different type of animal or looks like a different type of animal? Is it permitted to eat it if one of them is kosher and one of them is not kosher? As follows, Behema Tahora, kosher animal, Shiada Kamin Behema Tahema, gave birth to what looks like a non-kosher animal, Mutar Bachila, it's permitted to eat that offspring, even though it looks like a cow gave birth to a donkey. Donkey's not kosher, but truth be told, it may look like a donkey, but if it's born to a kosher animal, it's going to be a kosher animal. And the reverse, if we have a non-kosher animal, we have a donkey, for example, that gave birth to a little calf, Asr Ba'achila, that's going to be Asr Ba'achila, even though it looks like a calf, it's really a donkey. It was born to a donkey mother. Chayotze me'atami tami, anything that comes forth as the offspring of a non-kosher animal is going to be unkosher. Yotze minatar katar, anything that is given birth to by a kosher animal is going to be kosher. Now we're going to have a somewhat of an exception to the rule or a qualification to that. Dag tame shabala dag tar, if we have a situation of a non-kosher, a large non-kosher fish, it swallowed a kosher fish, and then you slit it open and you find that kosher fish in that non-kosher fish, you don't have to assume that that's the offspring. It's going to be mutar ba'achila. It's going to be permitted because it's a kosher fish that was simply swallowed by a non-kosher fish. V'tahor shabala dagtame, the reverse. If you have a kosher fish, a salmon, for example, that swallowed a non-kosher fish, Asr ba'achila, you're not going to be permitted to eat it because that's a non-kosher fish inside the kosher fish. Levish eno gidula, because that is not its offspring. We go by the fish itself. Is it kosher or not? So it doesn't matter that it was swallowed by a different type of fish. Mishnah Gimel. We need a little bit of an introduction to this. When it comes to the mitzvah of Petar Chamor, there's a mitzvah to redeem the Petar Chamor. When specifically, it is certainly that it was born to a mother that had not given birth before. However, if we have a suffek, in that situation, we don't actually have to give the pidyon, and the pidyon is done by giving the first plan, as we'll see. We'll qualify this a little bit later. There are other options. Option number one is to give what's called a seh, and we'll call it a lamb for now, to a kohen, and that is the way that the keter chamor is redeemed. The seh goes to the kohen, and the now redeemed donkey, baby donkey, is kept by the owner. But if we have a suffolk, whether you have to do the pidyon or not, in that situation, the kohen doesn't get the money. The owner will go through the process of separating the seh, but he gets to keep it for himself. So Mishnah Gimel will hash this out with many different scenarios. Chamor shelo bikra v'yaldashnei v'zacharim. If we have the chamor of the mother, and shelo bikra means it had never given birth, so it's in the potential of a bechor, and if it gives birth to a baby boy donkey, then there is a keter chamor mitzvah. If it doesn't, it gives birth to a female, then there's no keter chamor. So it goes as follows. Chamor shelo bikra v'yaldashnei v'zacharim. And it gave birth twins, mazel tov and mazel tov, and they are both baby boys, so you just have to redeem the older one. And the issue that we're grappling with is we don't know which one came first. We don't know which one came second. It doesn't matter because we know one of them, the one that came first, was a zachar, was a male. No sentale echa lekohen. You have to give one lamb to the kohen in order to do the pidyon. Now, on the other hand, zachar unekeva, if the mother gave birth to both a baby boy and a baby girl, and again, we have a suffix here. We don't know which one came first. So So if it was the zachar, the boy that came first, then you have a mitzvah, a pidyon chamor. If it was the nekeva, then you don't. In this situation, because it's a suffix situation, as we talked about before, the kohen is not going to get the taleh. Taleh is the lamb, is like the seh. Mafrish taleh echel asma. You're not going to give it to the kohen because it's a suffix situation. You are going to still have to be mafrish it. You're going to have to separate it in order to redeem that donkey from its kedusha. However, the owner is going to be able to keep it from himself because there's a principle, hamotzi mechavero alav araya. If the plaintiff kohen comes and makes a claim, you have to pay me, the defendant owner can simply say, you need to prove it that a male was born first. Because the kohen has no proof, he cannot demand payment of the seh from the owner, so the owner still has to go through the redemption process, but he gets to keep the seh himself. Next, situation getting more complicated, we have shtei chamorim shelo bikru. We have two mothers. We have two donkeys. Neither of them had a bechor before. The yaldu shnei zacharim, and they were both pregnant. They gave birth to two baby boys. We don't know which one gave birth to which one. It doesn't matter, because we know each of them gave birth to baby boys. We know that each of them are a preter chamor, regardless of who the mother was. Nosen shnei talaim lekohen, you have to give, accordingly, two tlayim, two lambs have to be given to the kohen, because each of them have to be redeemed. If we have a zachar and a keva, so this situation is we have those two mothers, those same two mothers, neither of them had given birth before, and one gave birth to a zachar, a baby boy, and one gave birth to an akeva. So in this situation, we would say that we have a vadai. Certainly one of them is a petar chamor, and one of them, the nekev, is certainly not. So you have to give one taleh, you have to give one seh to the kohen to redeem the zachar. Next situation, again, those two mothers, and this time they gave birth, oshnei zacharim unekeva. They gave birth to two baby boys and one nekeva and one baby girl. So certainly one of them gave birth to a zachar. One of them certainly gave birth because they're two mothers and they're two baby boys and a baby girl. So one of them gave birth first to a baby boy, but the second one we don't know. Maybe gave birth to a baby boy, maybe gave birth to a baby girl. So accordingly, we have certainly one that has to be redeemed and given to the kohen, and the second one is going to be a suffix, and accordingly, you'd have to be mafrish and keep the second one for yourself in this situation. So the Mishnah says, nosen taleh echal kohen, you would give one taleh to the kohen for the vaday, and the suffix, you would have to be mafrish, but the owner would keep it for himself. Next situation, again, we have two mothers. Neither of them had a bechor. Neither of them had given birth in the past. And they gave birth to shtei nekevos v'zachar. So now we're going to this situation. Before, it was one nekeva that was born between the two mothers. Now we have two nekevas, two baby girls that are being born by the two mothers. So the first situation here is that we have shtei nekevos v'zachar. We have two baby girls and one zachar. So the situation is as follows. It's possible that one of them gave birth to the zachar first, but it's also possible that they both gave birth first to baby girls, and there's no obligation for petar chamor. So this is a suffek situation, and accordingly, nothing is given to the kohen. There's only one seh. The owner has to separate it because it's a suffek, and he gets to keep it himself. Next situation, ushnei zacharim ushtei nekevos. We have those two mothers, and they gave birth to two baby boys and two baby girls. So on the one hand, it's possible that both mothers gave birth to two baby boys, so then maybe you have to redeem both of them. On the other hand, it's possible that one gave birth to a boy and one a girl. And it's also possible that they both gave birth first to two girls and the boys were only born afterward. Accordingly, this is a suffix. This is two suffix situations that maybe two boys were born first, maybe not. And accordingly, ein kan the kohen klum, the kohen gets nothing. And in this situation, because we have two suffix in the last situation, the person would have to separate two says, two lambs, for example, but he would be able to keep both of them for himself. Mishnah Dalet is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, and our situation is going to get a little bit more complicated. We have two mothers still, but one of them has given birth before, so whatever she gives birth to is not going to be subject to the Petar Chamor requirements, and the second one had never given birth. So we have Achas Bikra, let's call it A. A has given birth before, so there's no issue with her. Whatever she gives birth to is not going to be a Petar Chamor. V'Achas Shelo Bikra, and B had never given birth, so if B has a baby boy, there's going to be a petar chamor. V'yaldu shnei zacharim, and they gave birth to two baby boys, and we don't know who gave birth to each one. It doesn't matter, because we know that B gave birth to a baby boy, regardless of which is hers. Nosen taleh echad lekohen, because it's a vaday situation, not a safek. the owner has to give one talet to the Kohen to redeem that Peter Chamor that was given birth to by B. In the next situation, we have again A and B. A had given birth in the past, no Peter Chamor issue. B had not given birth in the past, and now they gave birth collectively between the two of them to a Zachor and a Keva. One gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to the girl, and we don't know who gave birth to which one. So in this situation, because it's only a Safek B, B may have given birth to a boy, maybe B gave birth to the girl, so there wouldn't be at Peter Chamor, so we have a Suffolk situation. Mafish Talech El Atzma, nothing goes to the Kohen, as our classic Suffolk cases. The person has to go through the process, the owner has to go through the process and separate the Taleh, but he gets to keep it himself. Now in the Seifa that doesn't relate to the ratio, we're going to answer the question, so which types of animals can we use when somebody has a Peter Chamor in order to give it to the Kohen and redeem his Chamor? So the Mishnah says, Shene'emar brings a Pasuk, U'Peter Chamor Tifte Beseh. When you have that Peter Chamor, you redeem it with a seh. What is a seh? That is a more of a generic term that includes other types of animals. It includes mina kvasim, it includes sheep. Umina izim, it also includes goats. So if you want to redeem with the sheep, that's fine. If you want to redeem with a goat, that's fine. If you want to redeem with a zachar or a nekeva, the male goat or sheep, or a nekeva or a female goat or sheep, gadol v'katan, whether it's big, whether it's small, tamim v'balmum, whether it's unblemished, whether it's blemished, all of these are included in the catch-all phrase of a seh and would be acceptable to redeem that peter chamor. Three additional halachas. Here we're going to go with the Bartanur's explanation, but there are others as well. If the person went and redeemed his peter chamor, he gave the seh to the Kohen, and the Bartanur says, Im chazer koin v'natnu la, and the Kohen decided to give it back to the owner, and the owner had another Peter Chamor, and he gave that set to the Kohen gave it back. You can do this multiple times, because there's no intrinsic value, there's no sanctity to that set, so it can be used multiple times. Another halacha, nichnas ladialit aser, this set that is used to be given to the Kohen, it is also subject to maiser behema. Maiser behema is the tithing of the animals, kosher animals that are born in a given year, so because there's no intrinsic kedusha at all, you also have to take maiser behema from it. And the last halacha, which is going to be to us, the subject of a machlokis in Mishnah Vav, the imes. What happens if the owner separated the seh, but before giving it to the Kohen, the seh dies? Does he have to separate another one and give it to the Kohen? So it says that seh dies nehenim bo. In this situation, we're going to go with the Bartanura. We're just going to read it through because it's complicated. So in this situation, the seh died before he gave it to the Kohen, imes biad balim, and it was still in the possession of the Baal until it was given to the Kohen. Before it was given to the Kohen, nenebo coin, that carcass of the seh is still owned by the Kohen. So what is going on here? And this is going to be the sheet of the Chachamim in Mishnah Vav, that even though that seh was not given yet to the Kohen, as soon as it was designated, it was separated, it was designated to be the animal that's going to be used to redeem that Peter Chamor, it's considered the Kohen's. Accordingly, when it dies, it's the Kohen. So the Kohen gets the carcass of the seh, but the Chamor, the Peter Chamor, has effectively been redeemed, and now that is owned and permitted to be used by the owner. We will get back to this shortly. Mishnah Hey Ein Podim Lo Be'ego. We said before in Mishnah Dalid, the prior Mishnah, that Peter Chamor is redeemed with a seh, and we define that as a sheep or a goat, so you can't use a calf. V'lo b'chaya. A chaya is an undomesticated animal, for example, a deer. V'lo b'shchuta. And you can't use, even if it's a seh, you also can't do it with one that it was shechtiv lo betreifa. If it has an evident defect on the outside of it, you also cannot use that, even if it's a set. You can't use that to redeem it, the Peter Chamor. Vlo bikilayim, if you have a mixed, a hybrid. For example, you have this animal here, and both parents were sehs, but one was a, for example, a goat, and one was a sheep. So the offspring is a hybrid. You cannot use that. You need a purebred. Vlo bikoy, a koy is a discussion. What exactly is this? Is it a unique type of an animal, or is it a mixed breed also? But it would be a mixed breed of a goat and a deer. So only one of the parents is a seh, the other one is a chaya, the deer. So this cannot be used as well. We need a seh and not a koi. Rabbi Elazar Matar Bikilayim. Rabbi Elazar says when it comes to the kalayim situation, that's when both parents, one is a goat, one is a sheep, and the animal is the baby is a high, the one that you want to use to redeem the Peter Chamor is a hybrid, because both of the parents are a seh, the baby is going to be considered a seh, the offspring is going to be considered a seh as well, and that can be used in order to redeem the petach chamor mineshu seh. According to this shita, according to Rabbi Elazar, it is a seh because both parents are a seh, the osir bekoi, but he does agree that a koi cannot be used mineshu safek, it's a safek. Is this considered a deer? Is it considered a seh because it has parents, one of them is a seh and one is not a seh, so that's why the koi cannot be used. Nisano l'koin, if you gave, instead of opting to redeem this petar chamor and give a seh to the kohen in order to redeem it, the person said, I don't want to deal with this. I don't really want this donkey. Let me just give this petar chamor directly to the kohen. So he's giving that donkey that he was supposed to redeem. He's just giving the whole thing to the donkey rather than redeeming it himself. Now it is incumbent on the kohen to redeem it. He's not allowed to have hana'a from that petar chamor until the kohen himself redeems it. And a kohen rashai l'kaimo ad shi'afrish seh tachtav. He's not allowed to have hana'a from it until he himself separates a seh for it. He keeps the seh, but he has to go through the process. Mishnah Vav is what we said is the subject to a machlokes at the end of Mishnah Dalet, and it goes as follows. Hamafrish pidyon petar chamor v'mes. Somebody separates the pidyon, that's the lamb that he's going to use, in order to redeem the petar chamor, and now the lamb dies, and he separated it, but he did not give it to the Kohen yet. So is this effective? And the question that we have is the machlokes is, when is the redemption of the Petar Chamor going to be effective? Is it when the lamb is separated or only once it's actually given to the Kohen? So the first sheet to hear is Rabbi Eliezer. So Hamafrish Pidyon Petar Chamor V'meis. Somebody who separates that lamb. In order to redeem the Petar Chamor, he didn't give it to the Kohen yet, and that lamb dies. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chayavim Bachrayu, so he's of the review of the view that it is not redeemed until the seh is actually given to the kohen. Accordingly, now the owner is still responsible. He still has to redeem the petar chamor. It hasn't been redeemed. Designating is not enough. You have to actually give that seh to the kohen. And it's similar to the chamesh laim shel ben, when somebody has to do a pinyon ben on his son. Let's say he took the five slime, he's got it in his pocket, and he's going to the kohen in order to pay him to be po to his own son, and he lost it. He has to make good on it. He's responsible. Find another chamisha slime in order to redeem his son. The same thing applies with the petar chamor. He lost the seh. The seh died on him. He has to make good on it. Find another seh, buy another seh, and give that to the kohen. He has not done the redemption of his petar chamor yet. Chachamim omrim, they disagree. In chayavim b'achrayu, so as soon as he separated the seh, it is done. That Petar Chamor is redeemed, and Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. This is like Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. If somebody is redeeming produce during certain years of the Shemitah cycle, and he's outside Yerushalayim, and he decides, instead of taking the produce up to Yerushalayim, I'm going to redeem it for money, bring the money that has the sanctity of Ma'aser Sheni up to Yerushalayim, and he loses it along the way. So Chachamim say, you're not responsible to replace that Ma'aser Sheni funds. You are off the hook. The same thing applies with the Pidyon Chamor. As soon as you designated the Seh, even though it died, you don't have to make good. That was an effective redemption on the Petar Chamor. And Heid, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yitzhak, they gave testimony like the Shita of Chachamim, Al Pidyon Petar Chamor Shemes, that the Pidyon Petar Chamor that died, Chain Kana Koyen Klum, it is effective immediately when you separate it. And even though that said died before getting to the coin, it is an effective redemption, and the coin has nothing coming to him. Next situation is also a machlokis between Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar. It's actually a nafkamina between them based on the ratio, Mes Petar Chamor. So in this situation, the person is separated at the set. He has not given it to the kohen yet, and instead of the seh dying, it's the petar chamor, the donkey, that died. So in this situation, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, who was of the view that it's only redeemed once you actually give the seh to the kohen, so before giving the seh to the kohen, there's been no redemption on this petar chamor, and accordingly, yikaver, because that petar chamor still has its kedusha, you can't have any hana from it, you have to bury it, and accordingly, because there was no redemption that was done because the seh was not given to the kohen, umutar banato shel taleh, the owner keeps the taleh and he can't have hana from the taleh. The kohen gets nothing. The chachamim omrim, chachamim disagree. They were of the view as soon as you separate the seh, that is an effective redemption. So accordingly, when this petar chamor dies, eino tzarech likaver, it has been redeemed already. It has no longer any kedusha. And accordingly, you don't have to bury it. The person who owns that carcass, he's allowed to benefit from it. But because there was an effective redemption of the petar chamor immediately upon separating that seh, that seh is now the Kohen's. V'hatele, the Kohen, that seh has to be paid over to the Kohen. Continuing Mishnah Zion, just a pasuk before we get into the Mishnah, the pasuk talking about Petach Hamor says as follows: Chol Petach Hamor tifteh b'seh. When you redeem your Petach Hamor, you redeem it with your seh. That's plan A. That's the ideal way to do it. If you don't want to do plan A, you don't want to redeem it and give a set to the coin, what you have to do is you have to decapitate it from its back. So this is going to be the subject of our Mishnah. So if the person doesn't want to redeem it with the set and give the set to the coin, plan B, as based on that pasuk that we just read, is Orfo Bekofitz Ma'achora V'Kovra. You have to decapacitate it with a cleaver from its back, from its neck, and you have to bury it because it's still Asr Bahana because it was never redeemed. And now we're going to have four different halachas. This is going to be the first one that talk about when we have a plan A and a plan B, and that plan A is preferred over plan B. So number one is as follows: Mitzvahs Pedia Kodemes la Mitzvahs Arifa. The redemption with the seh is the preferred plan, then doing the arifa, that's decapitating the donkey. Shenamar, as it says in the pasuk, v'im lo sifteh, if you don't do plan A and redeem it by giving the seh to the coin, v'arafta, then you can kill it from in back. You can do arifa instead, using the cleaver on its neck and back. Next, number two, example of when we have plan A and plan B, and plan A is referred to plan B, mitzvahs ye'ida kademes lemitzvahs pediyah. This is talking about when a father has a daughter, she is below the age of bas mitzvah, and he needs to raise some funds for whatever reason, so he sells her off as a maidservant for a period of years, it's up to 6 years, or until she reaches the age of bas mitzvah, whichever is earlier. And there is a process called Yehud that the owner, master, I don't know how we want to say this, but he has the ability to enter into Kiddushin with her, to marry her effectively. That's called Yehud. He says, Areat Mekudeshali. He doesn't have to pay anything because he paid the father originally. So that's the payment for the Kiddushin. He says, Areat Mekudeshali. That would be plan A, that he marry this girl. However, plan B, if she wants to buy herself out of her contract, so she would pay a prorated amount left on the number of years. So mitzvah si'ida, the yehu done by the hopefully husband, kodemes the mitzvah pidiyah, would be before his mitzvah to accept her payment to buy out her contract. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, asher lo yada, if you don't do plan A, which is the yehu v'hefta, then he also has the mitzvah, plan B, to accept her payment to buy her out for the balance of the years. Third example of when we have plan A and plan B, mitzvahs yibum kodemes the mitzvahs chalitza. In a yibum situation, brother A dies, has no offspring, brother B has a mitzvah of yibum. If he doesn't want to do the mitzvah of yibum, which is plan A, then that leaves us with plan B, which is the chalitza. Rishona shayu miskavni l'shem shamayim. Originally, the Mishnah tells us, this is the Shita of Abba Shol, that originally when people were doing Yibum, in order to do the mitzvah, they were Mechavin Hashem Shamayim. That's when we had plan A as the Yibum and plan B as the Chalitza. However, nowadays, unfortunately, V'achshav Shein Miskavin Hashem Shamayim, but rather the brother too, who does the Yibum, he doesn't have positive things in mind. He doesn't have the mitzvah in mind. He's doing it because she's a beautiful woman, so it's for noy, or he wants to get money out of it because he's getting his brother A that passed away, he's getting the Yerusha from him, he's getting his assets from him. So now, because of that reverse of priorities of people, Amru Chazal said, mitzvahs chalitza kodemes the mitzvahs yibum. We reverse the plan A and plan B. Plan A became, it's preferable to do chalitza, and thereafter yibum. Chachamim happen to disagree with this. Even if the motive is not good, they still have yibum as plan A. This is simply the sheet of Abba Shul reflected in this mission. And fourth example, mitzvahs v'gula ba'adon. This is talking about when somebody donates something to the Beis HaMikdash. So the redeeming of that item from the Bedek HaBayis, from the Beis HaMikdash, mitzvahs v'gula ba'adon. It's the person who donated that item to the Beis HaMikdash. He has the plan A, preferred redemption right. However, it says, hu kodem l'chol adam. He's before everyone else. But if he doesn't opt to do it, that's plan A, then plan B is anyone else would be permitted to redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash. And Emor, as it says in the pasuk, milo yigael, if the person who donated it doesn't redeem it, then plan B is v'nimkar be'er kachai, can be sold to anyone else based on its proper valuation.